Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 201. Our guest tonight, Taylor Catherine Trio.
Two, three, four. Bye.
give my heart to anyone. I guess that's why I'm always on the run. I guess that's why I'm always on the run. Turn on the radio to listen to tunes, and every song I hear just makes me think of you. Don't know what it is about you that gets me so high, but if I don't forget about you, I might not be alright. Saw you at a show with your new chick, made me more jealous than I'm willing to admit. Said I was over you, but I guess that was a lie. It's just easier than telling you you're always on my mind. Because I've been fooled before, and I don't want to do that anymore. So I won't give my heart to anyone. I guess that's why I'm always on the run. I guess that's why I'm always on the run. Figure out my fucked up heart. But if that day comes and you ain't the one, then I guess that means you and me were meant to be apart. So for now it's just me and a bottle. It keeps me company when I'm feeling down. Darling, I give it all up for you. My heart to anyone. I guess that's why I'm always on the run. I guess that's why I'm always on the run. I guess that's why I'm always on the run. same. She took care of that baby when September came. It was love at first sight, sweet baby girl. She made that baby her whole wide world. Her daughter, she became a mother when she was just 22. And so she did everything that her daughter couldn't do. She always told that baby she was worthy and beautiful too, till she believed it was true. That's what real love will do. Person she tells is Bobby Sue. Her granddaughter, she became a mother when she was still just a child. If she'd had it her way, she would have seen her walk down the aisle.
Taylor Catherine Trio. And we're so excited to have you back, Taylor. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So you got some new additions with you. Why don't you introduce the guys for me?
All right. Well, over here to my left, this is Eric Condon, and he plays bass for us most of the time. He's also really sick on guitar.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Hey.
And over here to my right, this is Richard Chandler, and he is an amazing guitarist. He's one of the best guitarists in Louisville, like, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of people's opinions, and also one of the best vocalists, like,
oh yeah,
straight up,
no doubt.
I've never heard a man that sounds like that. So
you forgot my last name for a second.
Chandler.
I noticed it.
I said
hey man,
I wanted to say chandelier.
You gotta, sometimes you gotta think, you know. I'm terrible with names, so
I'm awful with names.
Oh my god, I barely, so, you know, I'm so bad. That's the, you know, one of my biggest fears in life is having to say somebody's name. I mean, like, even when I could just meet you, you guys came in last time and I knew your name when you recorded, you know, because you got, you know, these guys have been in and done a little bit of recording with me. And so after the first time, I actually remembered you, which shocked me.
And, we're very, you know, memorable. Mm-hmm.
And it's not because you're not memorable. It's because I'm just terrible with names. I'm so scared to get to somebody's name
wrong. Oh, it's a night. Like, on my job, I have, like, I talk to people all day, but I have charts. And so I go into rooms and I'll be like, how's it going, Mr. Johnson? Like, every time, every fucking time without fail. Like, I can look right at it and forget by the time I go in.
I still don't know what to call you half the time. You know?
Whatever.
Because your stage name is not the name I know.
Earl's my middle name, and so that's what I mean, a lot of people know me as BJ. That's been a nickname since I was a kid, but
Catherine
I'm cool
is
with
my
either.
Middle name too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Yeah. You'll always be BJ to me.
It's Earl to me, too.
I always say, if, as long as you don't call me an asshole, I don't care. So.
Well, don't talk to Richard.
Talking to you, Richard.
Yeah, Rich. Evidently, that's Richard's favorite word. That's what we've heard. Yeah. So, quick story about Earl, BJ Earl. So we just played a show together.
It was great.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Your band
man.
Was awesome, man. Thank you. You all should have been the last band. No, that was a hard act to follow.
No, man, it was a blast. We haven't played in forever, but it was super fun. But when we were there with Tyler Hood played as well, and he said, "Hey, you to beat something about BJ," and I went, "Huh." And it took me a minute. And I was like, Earl, I'm finally making the connection.
Yeah.
So, and I also got to meet Earl's mom, who's awesome, and talk. I talked
she's a good
to her
lady.
About 10 minutes. Yeah. Man.
She'll talk to you forever. I was talking to her on the phone on the way, and I was like, Mom, I got to fucking go. I am here. I got to get off the phone. She's just chatting away.
Yeah, she's
your
great.
Your dad's
man.
Pretty cool, too.
Yeah, he's chill. He won't talk as much, but that's good sometimes. Like, when I'm in a hurry, like, just say, what's up? And he's like, fucking nothing. That's the end of it.
So, Taylor, we've done this before, and we've kind of got your backstory a little bit. So I really kind of want to talk about what you've been doing, getting with these guys, starting to really start in the process of making records, getting your name out there. And it's like snowballing pretty quickly. You're definitely becoming, not only because you play and you put yourself out there, because of the songwriting and the things that you're doing are just different and interesting and awesome. So I think we had you in July in our old hot, sweaty studio.
Yeah, that was very hot.
That was about the peak of the heat. But yeah, so since July, I've seen your name everywhere. You formed the trio. Give us just a little bit of, from your perspective, what that the last 6-7 months has been like for you.
I feel like since I started playing with Richard and Eric, that doors have opened for me and for us, and you know, these festivals, these venues, these places I didn't think I was ever going to get to play. They've heard us together and they're like, we want you here. You know, so I've got a lot of stuff already booked for this year coming up. That I'm really excited about, and it really is because of these guys. And they have I know that I'm good by myself. Okay, let's not get that twisted. Mm-hmm. But these guys have just enriched what I do already by myself, that I couldn't do alone. And people want to hear it all together. And so yeah, I mean, I've got this recording going on, and I've got festivals and shows that I've always wanted to play, and people I've always wanted to play with that are playing with us now, and venues I've always wanted to play that want to book us now. And it's really, really exciting. And I'm really, really glad that these guys are my friends and that they want to play with me.
You know, it's kind of wild about that, really, in my opinion, and looking at it from my perspective, and Earl probably has a good opinion on this too. You don't have a record out. You don't have anything on spot.
You know, you don't really have shit. Like, so, you don't have much of anything.
Thanks. So
you got one single, it's great, but that's it.
Yeah, you have Sober Up. Sober Up is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm so sick of that freaking song. Sick of it.
Which you can never not play, because it's awesome.
It's so good.
Yeah,
it really is.
But the fact that, like, to be able to book a summer, to book into the year, without having this catalog of stuff other than live appearances, a little bit of that Sober Up, a little bit of the doing some podcasts and things like that. It's just wild to me.
It's really impressive.
It's super impressive, and it doesn't happen often.
It makes me really, really grateful, because to know that that is what's happening means that there are people coming to my shows that are people that talk to these venue owners or are these venue owners. Mm. Like, they hear about me and they want to come, or they see my social media presence and they want to come. That, because I haven't, yeah, I mean, like, it's completely like grassroots shit right here.
Yeah,
big time. Yeah, I mean,
it really is.
It's really cool to see. Like, and I know you mentioned some venues you're stoked to play. Like, what do you have? Like, where are you right now? Are you most excited to go play?
I'm super excited. You know, this podcast is going to come out afterwards, but I'm super excited to play at Zanzibar. Somewhere I've wanted to play forever.
Next two days after.
Some of my favorite acts that I've seen in Louisville have played at that
place. Me too, yeah.
And amazing. Like before COVID, I saw a Lost Dog Street Band there. And I knew that was the last concert I was going to see forever. But I mean, and then I get to play that show with people that I care about as musicians. And I'm just really excited about that. And I get to do the Monarch too with Top Hill Takeover.
We love them.
Those are two places I really wanted to play, and I'm working on Millwood. That's another place I really want to play.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. That'll be no problem for you, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, well, there's a big festival happening with all of the people that we love and know in Louisville that play music around here. Pretty much everybody that I follow locally that I know personally is going to be playing that festival, and that's it's going to be called the Moonshadow Festival. Mm-hmm. It's in Medora, Indiana in April during the eclipse.
We get
3.5 minutes of totality in the spot that we're going to be at, and the trio is going to be playing the pre-party the day before the eclipse.
That's cool.
That's a great lineup.
I've been looking forward to that all year. It is a great lineup.
It is really great, yeah.
You know, and then we've got Fuzzy Pig coming up in April, too. I mean, there's so much great stuff coming on. And Earl Bowman's going to be there as well.
Yeah.
Fuzzy Pig?
Yeah, I will be there.
So I do believe that Top Hill will be there as well. So those guys will be in a couple weeks before, I think April 15th. I think we just locked in.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're going to be here and
those are some of my favorite people in the whole world.
Yeah.
They are great, great, great guys.
Well, what they're doing, just supporting musicians and doing something like that. Anytime that you put yourself in a position to do that and to promote other people and you actually take that position, it's honorable. It's really, really neat to think that there's so many people like that in this scene.
I was just thinking that. There's so many little local festivals, and honestly, the local little festivals are always my favorite ones to go to. Mm-hmm. Like Bourbon and Beyond and all that shit's super dope. I go to those, but there's nothing like a little bitty festival, like with just like a close-knit group of people, even if it's only like 60 people at the festival. Like I've seen some of my favorite acts at little bitty festivals. It's always, always cool time.
Poor Castle.
I love Poor. Yeah. Poor Castle is a big reason I got into music. When I first moved back to Louisville, went to Poor Castle, and I was like, these people are amazing. I talked to you about it. Like a buddy Crime, who's been on here. Yeah. I saw him and was like, this guy's fucking wild. And I'm like, I got to make some music. And yeah, I love Poor Castle.
These smaller festivals also lead to the bigger festivals that happen regionally. The Moonshiners Ball, for example, is one of the biggest festivals that happens in Kentucky besides, you know, the Live Nation festivals that go on. And a lot of the people that get booked there are discovered at these small events that we all get to play now. Like, I mean, that's always exciting to think about. That's a venue I would love to play too.
It offers accessibility to other musicians, other artists, fan bases. If you know that, I think that especially when you're trying to build a base, that having those experiences at festivals where you can go out, you can watch other music, see other people. When other people see you excited about watching other people's music, I think it humanizes you a little bit. And when you're in situations like Fuzzy Pig, and you're gonna be a fan as much as a musician, you know. So it's just awesome to watch that ball keep building.
Yeah. I mean, we had a blast at Swarptoberfest last year. Like,
Swarptoberfest?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got wild out there.
Do you know what a swarp is? Anybody know what a swarp is?
No.
It's when you go out of your county, out of your state, out of county lines, and you throw a fucking party.
Swarp?
And it's called a swarp.
Okay.
So we went up on top of Pine Mountain in eastern Kentucky, and we swarped.
Yeah. I love it. So, you guys will miss your all's date by a couple days, unfortunately, so we can't promote it. But you guys are part of the lineup for our first Top Hill Takeover at the Monarch, which we are super excited about. I think this comes out a week or so before. So this is actually a promotion.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude. We don't promote very well. This is great. All right. So just to kind of solidify and let everybody know what the idea is, because we really haven't talked about it at all, other than when Mark was here and we were kind of spitballing. But Top Hill Takeover, we're just going over. The idea is to eventually give Mark a day off once a month at least. He'll be at the first one. But it's where we just come in on a Sunday and put together a lineup of three or four artists, half an hour sets, nothing crazy. really kind of a way. Hopefully we get a bunch of people that have been on this show that want to come and hang out and talk to other artists. Kind of like, you know, we talked about with those festivals and things like that, where you can get, make those relationships. Because Earl, like every time we have somebody in here, he's like, yeah, let's do a gig together.
Yeah, every time I'm like, we got to do a show.
Which is awesome because it does create that. And it's not always somebody that sounds like Earl. It's not a country act. It can be anybody. And it'd be like, dope, well, let's do a show together. And then I'll look at your schedule and it'll have three people that you've said that to where you do it. And it's awesome to build those. And I'm hoping that the Monarch turns into something like that to where we can kind of open it up early and let people come hang. And then the show starts.
That's the best part of the Monarch, honestly, is, I mean, the shows are always great, but just the chill at the Monarch is cool. It's cool to get there early or stay late and hang out on the patio.
Absolutely.
Just have a drink, have a smoke if you want, and just talk to fucking people you admire. Like, it's cool to like see an act and then go outside and be like, holy shit, that was awesome. Like, and get to talk to them. I've seen some cool acts in there, and everyone's always very just welcoming.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of a selfish. That's the thing, Richard said.
Yeah, you know that everyone's paying attention to you.
They're here to see music. I've said it last on episode 200, but they sell nothing. I wish to God he'd sell merch and make some money on merch just so he could have some, you know, easy money coming in, because everybody that walks through that door wants to support that place. Yeah. They would buy a shirt. They would do whatever it takes.
Yeah, shirts, stickers, he needs some stuff.
Anything. And the more that people see it, the more they'll be like, oh, the Monarch, I've heard about that place. And I think that it is there. But anyway, you know, they don't sell anything. People are there to hear what's up. And that is the most, they listen to lyrics. They understand. A lot of the people there are musicians that are listening to all the parts and trying to break it down. I mean, it's just so...
It's great. I mean, awesome. I've done shows there where, like, I'll play songs I don't play anywhere else because I know no one gives a shit anywhere else. And I've had people talk to me after the set and be like, talk about songs that I don't play. I'm like, I don't ever play that song because no one ever listens. It's a cool spot. Like, it's a magical place.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, yeah, I think Taylor I don't know if it was on the podcast or right before, talking about the 3 and 4 hour gigs that are just exhausting, but kind of part of what you got to do from time to time to, you know,
you can pay for stuff.
And those, you kind of build into your head that you can't, especially if you're playing in O'Shea's, no offense to any bars, but bars that are there to have background music and the fun stuff, you've got to play the upbeat stuff. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear slow stuff. And
they want songs they know that are fun. Yes. To have fun too.
Yeah. So my wife, you know, years ago when I was playing music, especially with the old band Voodoo Symphony, she'd be like, y'all got to quit playing slow stuff, man. Every time y'all play something slow, everybody leaves. It gets boring. He's like, I understand you all like it. It's cool. I mean, it sounds cool and y'all are grooving or whatever, but people want to hear, you know, they want to dance. They want to do those stuff when we're at this A1A or two keys with the wall-to-wall people. They want to dance. So you've got to kind of, you can get real trained in the mindset that everything I play has got to be fast. Even original shows, it's got to be this, it's got to be that. And then you get to the Monarch or places where people really listen, and it's refreshing to be able to slow it down and take a breath and really show your songs that you wouldn't do in those situations. Anywho. So last thing before I quit talking, just the lineup of this thing, we've got the Jenkins Twins committed.
They're fantastic. Fantastic. I don't know if you know them. You will love them.
Episode 199 great. Comes out for, it'll be out. Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow.
They're unbelievable. We got Taylor Catherine Trio. Got Justin Miller and Elements of Sound. And then we got Ill Vibe Tribe is coming in. And I think what I was trying to show more than anything is the diversity of the music that we have. It goes from just this cool, and I think that it all flows perfectly together because it's just four great bands. It's going to be awesome. Looking super forward to it. So anyway, I feel like I've talked for 35 minutes. Did I?
It's been 19.
I've talked 18. Your turn.
Well, I'm just stoked to see you all. Like, Taylor, we started going to open mics like around the same time, like a few years back. And it's cool to like see all the cool stuff that you're doing. I'm super stoked. I've heard some of the stuff you've all recorded here. I'm excited. Tell us a little bit about the album you're working on.
The album that we're working on is going to be a compilation of all of the songs that basically I play out now.
Which are all bangers.
It's about eight,
you
nine?
Put that mic up there, man. Good.
Sorry. like eight plus a couple in progress. Right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So. We're hoping to have about 10 songs on it.
You could release eight right now with just Top Bill stuff at this point.
Yeah, we could. We were talking
four and
about
four.
That.
Easy to go. You're ready. Just go with it.
But these are all the songs that I wrote early in my I guess musicianship or
that
whatever.
Was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I wrote all these 2 years ago. I've been playing them for like 2 years, and I'm ready to get them on an album and write more material and do more. And I know that. I don't mean this in any kind of like cocky way at all, but I know that like what we do is good and I know that we can go somewhere. And so I'm excited to start with this and see where it goes. And I'm really, really grateful that Top Hill reached out to me to offer to help me do this album, you know, because I wouldn't do it without you guys.
No, you need music out. Like you're really good. Yeah. Like I say all the time when I talk about
everybody
you.
Asks me where they can hear it. And I'm like, I got one song.
Yeah, I know. Anytime I talk about you, I say, I don't know anyone I've met like in music of anyone that has written like just like straight bangers like you do. Like every song that you all like that you do, I mean, the band does, but just any song I've ever heard you do is so good. You'll be like, I've only written like a couple handfuls of songs and they're all, any song you've ever played out is just amazing. It's so interesting. Cause like when I've written tons of songs that no one will ever fucking hear cause they're horrible. And I feel like
I have a bunch of them like that too.
Well, I've played some of them out and I've never heard you play out anything that wasn't just stellar stuff.
Thank you so much. I feel the same way about you.
You know, I don't know about you, but I was really kind of digging into the lyrics of just basically everything. You know, I think I've heard you enough now to kind of be able to say you're kind of a romantic. You know, you write a lot of songs about love. I mean, Bobby Sue.
That's what
is
I'm trying to get out
love.
Of. I'm trying to get that album out, so I'm never got to write a love song ever again. I hate it.
Yeah, you're like you know. I was paying attention. I was like, man, she loves love. Tell me about it. So why
I don't want to tell you about it.
So why do you want to do you think even if you get these out, will the
that's
next
what the
one
songs
still,
are for.
Do you think the next set will be about love regardless of what
no.
you think? You ready to
I think
move
the
on?
Next I think that love is like the easiest emotion and the most common emotion that we all feel as humans. We all feel it. We really do. And so for me, when I was starting out writing songs, I mean, and at the time also, like I was going through a divorce. I was going through a lot of emotions that love delves into, and I had a lot to say. Mm-hmm. And half of those songs are like, fuck you. And half of those songs are, I love you. And it was, I mean, it really is true to, I could tell you the day that I wrote those songs and what day, what I was going through that day. And that's all what that means is, I really didn't know who I was without being in love at that point in my life. I do now, and I want to get those out, and I want to move on from that, and I want to write songs that are about who I am, like Queen of the Trailer Park. That's not about love. Bobby Sue, that's about how I learned what love really was, you know, thinking about what you do unconditionally when you love somebody, and I want to write more songs like that that are really about who I am as a person.
Yeah, that's killer.
And I feel like if I get all this bullshit out about love, which is like it's literally like broken me down and built me up and broken me down again, like made me who I am, and I want to get it out.
You know what it is?
I'm a really cool person because of all the people that have broke my heart.
It's like the Meet the Beatles album. It's a hard day. It's all about love. You just get that out of the way, and then you write the amazing stuff that the Beatles did.
Then you write the amazing
but
stuff.
Here's the thing.
Then you write
the first stuff was amazing.
Yeah.
It's sure. And that's where we're at. I mean, you know,
this will be great in years when I've listened back to it, and then I'm going to be more proud of myself when I listen to the next album and I say I've moved on from that, and that's like not the only thing I know how to write about anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing that I think makes not only you interesting, but an interesting writer is when you can convey those emotions in a way that other people don't. And you find a way to do that and make people really, at least with me, really connect to what you're saying, you know, really kind of lean into those emotions. And I think, you know, looking at even the new stuff, you talked about Bobby Sue a little bit, that thing, I had chills throughout like the last half of the song. So you have a way to convey what you're thinking that is very, that just bleeds with conviction. It's real.
It's real, but even though it's personal to you, it is still relatable. It's just like I said, you write bangers. So you're a great, great writer. And the band is super cool. I've seen you all a bunch of times now. I mean, band's gotten real tight. Yes. Harmonies are great. All the playing is just like really just, it's a dope thing you got going. I'm excited to see what the year brings for you all.
I am too.
And I will say this about you guys and you all as the trio. I talked to Brad yesterday or the day before, you know, because he's been mixing some stuff and he absolutely loves the new couple recordings. Especially the first one, he was like, it's perfect. He loves it. Thinks that you all play the right stuff. And just so when I talked to him yesterday, I said, you know, man, the difference in the first time that they came in and sat down to play and the last...
We were talking about that today too.
Yeah, the second time that you all came in to do stuff was night and day. It was a totally different experience on my end because you all just knew what you were going to do. You were totally together. It was, you could tell that you'd spent time together.
I think we had only played one show together when we first came in here, and we've played a numerous amount of shows since.
I had played a show. Eric hadn't even played.
Eric had never played with us yet.
I had known Taylor for like a month.
Yeah.
And we'd practiced once.
Well, and I could tell you, I knew that because we had tried to do a couple other things earlier, but because of scheduling conflicts, it had changed. And Taylor, you were thinking about this person. And then when you guys finally came in as a trio, you could tell that this was going to be the thing. It wasn't going to be just these pieces thrown in, do this thing.
But no, these are my homies.
Yeah, well, and you can tell that by the next time when you all came here. Because the first time, I think we were at the other place, right?
Yeah.
Second time here. And that for me, on my end, tells me pretty much all I need to know about the work ethic. It wasn't a month. I mean, it wasn't that long, month and a half, 6 weeks, whatever we could work into that next session. But to be able to put in the time and to listen to each other enough to be able to learn the parts and like Richard with those stupid, ridiculous harmonies, you know, it's just on my end, it was so refreshing to have that be the case the second time. And even tonight, like you came in, nailed your song. So we'll probably have another record after this. You know, I mean, just one of those deals.
So we need a Top Hill record.
Top Hill. There's a couple Top Hill recording things out there. Yeah.
Zeno.
Yeah. Speaking of Zeno, man, I've got to throw this out there. Zeno Jones is in the That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay. So Zeno Jones tomorrow will be down in Memphis. I don't know. Tomorrow, January, whatever this is, not when this is released. Fourth, fifth, yeah. So he is up for in the top five for self-produced blues record by the International Blues Society.
I think it is, yeah.
Of America.
The International Blues Society of America or whatever it is. But it's just an amazing, amazing honor for him because the performance on that thing's sick. But it's also, you know,
it's
top
a big honor for you. Yeah. I mean, you all recorded that.
Really, Brad, man. I mean, big kudos to Brad.
That record sounds great. I played his LP the other day.
Yeah.
I know, like, Lilac just had that live from Top Hill come out, and it sounds stellar as well. So I'm stoked to hear your all's album. It's going to be dope.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild, man. It's kind of wild to think that all that stuff's going on.
Yeah.
Anywho. That's wild. Anyway, so what are you thinking? You've got a lot of stuff booked in this next summer. We're in January now. What's the next couple months look like for you before we hit these festivals?
Well, I daren't speak for Captain Taylor as a rule. Oh, Lord. You forgot my name earlier. Anyway, I don't speak for her generally, but I mean, I think that... the most important thing for us to do would be to write some stuff together. I mean, we've only kind of scratched the surface. We're just trying to, Eric and I, you know, are just trying to accent work that she's already done, you know, at this stage, you know. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to actually collaborating on some new songs together.
I am too.
So
I feel like now we can feel out how each other plays what we know what we kind of want to put out there.
I mean, y'all, you can tell you all, like, I know you mentioned work ethic. I mean, you can tell you all if your practices have been good. Like, yeah. y'all aren't wasting apparently a lot of time in practice because you're a tight band. Like, I think for me, I think trio stuff is some of the harder thing to do because it's just three people. I feel like there's nowhere to hide. Like, there's no loud drums. There's not, like, you know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. And it's, sometimes a trio is either good or they're like, when I played in a trio, we were kind of wacky. the trio stuff's hard. And I feel like you all do a great job at it. Like, it really fits your songs. I feel like it's very different than how, like, you first started playing them out. Like, I feel like when I met you, years ago, it is. It's really cool to see. Yeah.
I remember meeting you years ago and maybe having one song or two songs of my own.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's cool to see how far you've come too.
Yeah, so for anybody that doesn't know, Taylor started writing like 2 years ago. Legit. Started playing a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, during the pandemic.
During the pandemic, you're like, I'm going to do this. Not that you weren't already a singer and a trained and all that stuff, but just the fact that the evolution from 2 years ago to now, it will be very, very cool to see what influences these guys bring into.
They like a lot of really weird shit, so I'm very excited.
You are going
to
be like,
every time that they pick me up to drive us to a gig or something, I'm like, all right. I'm not even going to ask who this is. I'm just going to vibe. I'm sure they'll write something.
And that's, you know, that is a really crucial thing, I think, that to note is that Richard and I both, I think, certainly come from pretty different musical backgrounds than Taylor does. And that was the fact that she looked to us was something that was in my mind was like, she wants to do something different. She wants to do something that is not just like what everybody else is doing. Cause you know, I mean, you've heard this voice. I mean, she could have Nashville session pros. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like the fact that she was like, she sees these two guys, these two schmucks and says,
my favorite schmucks,
you know, it's shows that she, that adventurousness that I don't, you know, that we don't always see. And, you know, and so that was what I was.
Well, yeah. Also just very flattering to be.
Certainly. Yeah, yes, that too. Yeah. That's another thing. It's like when, you know, when someone with this voice asks you to play with them, you don't say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you didn't know how to play, you'd learn.
When you get that call, you answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you spoke to it. What was your, I guess, let's go back to your background from the beginning, man. Like, what do you, what you come up listening to? What are you listening to now? When did you really know that music was a thing that you were going to do?
Wow.
You opened this door, man.
Oh, okay, well, I don't want to, you know, spend the whole time blathering about myself.
Taylor's
had a whole podcast, bro.
Yeah.
It's your all turn.
I got editability. If what you say sucks, I'll cut it out. No, I'm just kidding. Mama,
can I go to the bathroom?
No! Yeah, go ahead. This is Eric's segment, man. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead. You can go.
Well, I started playing, playing guitar when I was 9, which was in the 90s, 1994. So
guitar first?
Yeah. And I wanted to play bass, actually. I started playing guitar.
Really?
I wanted to play bass.
You are weird, man.
It is weird.
You wanted to be a bass player.
I loved bass from the beginning.
At 9 years old, you're like, I want to play the bass?
I got into Nirvana.
Chris Novoselic.
He was the first guy I ever knew what a bass was. You know, when I learned what a bass was Chris Novoselic. And so from there, you know, I just was like really musically precocious and was playing, you know, watching MTV a lot in the 90s and
reading
music magazines. This is all pre-internet, by the way. This is before I ever had the internet. And just learning stuff, becoming a music nerd really young and coming up and starting to write songs and playing in bands and all that. And I've done that pretty much, you know, I mean, there have been hills and valleys where I've played a lot less, where I focused more on other stuff. But generally, it's always kind of been my thing. And I have, you know, I met Richard and I met in high school and, we started collaborating pretty early on. I mean, we were collaborating songwriting
for the first time, about 23 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
2001, 2002 is when we were first writing songs together and playing together and stuff like that. And, but we, you know, have gotten more extensively in doing that in the last 10 years or so, you know, playing with, well, we had a band for a while that was
the true house band.
Yeah. We never played out. It was a theoretical band. But we wrote a lot of really great stuff.
It was fun.
Yeah.
We were playing with a friend of ours.
Yeah. Okay. So I noticed on your Instagram stuff that I always see you two together. So I was wondering if you know, you guys played a lot outside, because you also do a lot of singing and playing as well, right?
Yeah.
With that voice you got to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's very sweet of you to say.
Taylor, you can come in, man. Come on.
No, you're just standing there. It's your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Come on in.
If you left, you have to stay out. That's
no reentry.
Yeah, so
you had a bartender in here?
A bartender, yeah.
Richard?
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
All right, so just going back, I know you're playing a lot outside of playing with Taylor. You do your own thing as well, right?
Yeah, I write a lot of stuff. I actually was thinking about that when you were talking about, you know, the difficulties of playing shows at bars and all that, you know, because I tend to play almost entirely covers, you know, not only because of the lack of conviction in my original material, but also because it's like really morose.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah.
Do you always finger pick?
More often than not, I do. Not so much when I'm playing covers. I mean, it depends on the song. But in my original stuff, more often than not, I would say yes. Okay. Not without exception, though.
Okay. What type of stuff do you play when you play out?
I play a lot of like stuff that was written before I was born. A lot of Bob Dylan.
Okay.
And you know, Gordon Lightfoot. I mean, I've been trying to incorporate more contemporary stuff. I play some Madonna songs now.
Madonna, yeah. My man.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like,
she was just trending on Twitter for her dance moves, dude.
Can
you do
those?
A lot of old
country stuff.
There's one song you do, and it's slipping my mind that I've told you before is like one of my favorite covers, and I cannot think of it at the moment.
Was it Black Coffee?
I think it is.
Yeah. The Peggy Lee one?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, dude.
Peggy Lee too.
That is it. Yes, it is. You do that so well.
She's one of the great, you know, she's such a. Underrated as a chanteuse. I mean, she's really one of the greats, you know. I mean, like, I think people kind of look at it now and think she's cornball, you know, more or less. But
what you're saying is people sleep on Peggy Lee.
Yeah.
We've kind of messed around with a cover of Borderline by Madonna.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds pretty.
I bet good. It's good.
I love that one. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I bet it's first good. Top 10 hit.
Hey, we can jam it before we leave.
Ooh, there you go.
My only question for Richard really is, when are you going to get on the podcast?
Yeah, man. You didn't send me a message, dude.
Listen, man. Like that again. Calling back to earlier in the interview here. I mean, you know, when you were talking about how impressed you were with, you know, how often Taylor's playing out and all that kind of stuff. Like, she's a grinder. She, you know, like some of this stuff happens because she's talented, and talented people hear what she does, and you know, they want to. You know, have a part of that, obviously, whatever, you know, it's an appealing thing. But a lot of it, I think, comes from the fact that she just has a lot more drive and, you know, a lot more conviction about what she's doing. And I'm getting better in that capacity. But honestly, yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I don't go out there and pound the pavement for my own stuff. I think if I had a little more material, I might, you know, feel better about it. I mean, I've got about a handful of originals that like I really will stand on, and I don't feel embarrassed by, you know.
Well, come on and do them and put them on Spotify.
Oh, come on, man. So Taylor, just kind of reaching back, you know, you said something interesting earlier that I just want to kind of touch on before we, you know, get the heck out of here. Your transition from love songs to the next thing, right? The Bobby Sues and songs like that. Do you, that, it's just interesting thinking about that period in your life then and to where you are now, because it seems like you were talking about finding yourself. You know, what is it in the last couple of years that you've really discovered about who you are that puts that belief in what you're doing and does like what Richard says and makes you pound the pavement and do those things that knock on doors and get you into those places that you need to be?
First and foremost, it's all of the people that like truly believe in me have pushed me to just keep trying And on days when I feel like I'm not good enough and I'm not doing enough and I'm not as good as the next person or whatever, like I hear people on your all's podcast all the time and I'm like, why did they even ask me to be on there? Like I truly do have those imposter syndrome days. So people like Richard and Eric really have become my biggest support musically right now because they're my band and they push me and they believe in me and they believe in what we're doing. And that really and truly does help a lot. And they're so talented that like, if they believe in me, I have to be good. Right. Mm. And then all these other people are like, you're so good. You're just keep going, keep pushing yourself. And yeah, that's number one, what has transformed the way I think about myself as an artist. And I don't know, it's been a year now almost since my best friend died and I've done therapy and I've not written a song about him yet. I'm not ready for that. But I started with the thought of writing a song about him with thinking about writing about something that was personal but easier to write about. And so I wrote about being in a trailer park and then I said, all right, I'm going to write about being raised by my grandmother, you know, doing stuff like that. I'm going to keep on and keep on unlocking ways to say things that are hard to say and make it palatable for other people to hear. Mm.
Well, and I think that's exactly what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's I agree. And I didn't believe that until like half of a year ago when somebody like the best compliment I've ever gotten is that I'm vulnerable. And so I try to do that. And I try to make sure that I can be vulnerable in a way that people want to hear.
That's exactly what Neil wrote down about you. So that's really funny.
Vulnerability.
That's my favorite thing about myself as a songwriter. And I will take that one and stand on the hill with it and say, yeah. Yes, good. That's me. Because that is the only part of it that I truly, like, really believe in.
I think that's the most important part when you're writing songs.
Because I don't care if you like what I write or not, because I want to write it. Yeah. I need to say it.
It's not only about the fact that it makes you more confident. It's also that, like, you can access those feelings.
Yeah.
Like, in a way that is palpable to other people.
And a lot of people have trouble thinking about themselves and those feelings, and they hear us play a song about that feeling. And they're like, oh, shit, I have felt like that before, and that's okay to feel that way. Mm.
Yeah, I wrote vulnerability, heart, romantic on this
very
piece of
romantic.
Paper.
Yeah. I love love, man. Yeah,
we can tell. But you know, I think that the biggest thing about the vulnerability is people know that you're real. And I promise you, if you continue to be true to who you are and true to yourself and write the songs that you have to write, not what you think has to be written, not what you think somebody wants to hear, but you write what you want to write because that's what you've got to do. And continue to do what you're doing. I just have such faith, and I think a lot of people have such faith in your ability. And like Eric said, I mean, you've got a voice that comes off the paper.
Yeah,
it's just a different thing.
It is a different thing. I mean, we always talk about the Monarch on here and how it's such a special place, but like, what you have is I've known you a long time now, and like you have something so special that I feel like not everyone can do what you do. You write, you have this, first off, you have like about as best voice of anybody in town, if not the best voice of anyone
Thank
in town.
You.
And then you got a little great band behind you too. You're writing these killer songs, like, and you're it's good to see you believe in yourself, because I know people believe in you. There's like, I was kind of touching with on the Monarch. Everyone who goes in that place says, this is a special place. I've never heard anyone who's seen you play not go, that is something special. And I've heard a lot of people say that over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really, thank you.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing where the trio goes in the next year or two.
Yeah.
Definitely will have you back. I mean, we're working on some stuff now. Richard may eventually send me an Instagram message.
Maybe.
Which I'm sure Eric will be in with. All right?
His better half will do it for him.
I'll make sure to do it soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Eric, you gotta do it too.
You see how I show my gratitude.
I'm sure Earl will be a part of a lot of the shows that you guys are doing when it comes to the festivals and stuff, but
yeah, Earl is always there.
Seriously looking, but well, and he just goes.
He's incredible.
I'm always lurking. Yeah.
He's always lurking.
Well, that's how I ended up here.
I said, how'd you get that gig? He said, I don't know.
I said, she's like, how did you end up doing this? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Last thing that touches back on what you all just talked about?
Like, say whatever you want.
Whatever. Writing songs and all of that. I was at a lock-in birthday party thing a couple weeks ago, and I met this guy I think his name is Tyler Menard. He is really, really, really talented, and I jammed with him. And I played my song Sober Up, like, at the jam. And he looked at me and he said, I just got signed by Zach Bryan's record label. Well, he did. He put up a viral video. Zach Bryan shared it on his Facebook. Reached out to him. He's got a record label. He's going to go record an album with Zach Bryan's. Anyway, it's crazy. So he heard my song and he said, can I buy that from you? I was like, what? Like, for what? You look like you have $0. And he said, no, I just got signed by Zach Bryan's record label. And I had seen, like, the day before that Zach Bryan shared his video on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that. So I knew it was legit. I was like, how much? He said $10,000.
Shut up.
And he said,
I'd have been like, goodbye.
No, he said, goodbye, I said, I don't care if you said like $1,000, I'm $100,000. I'm not going to sell my song.
That's what's up.
He said, why not? And I said, that's my song.
Yep.
Ah, good for you. Cause I would have been like, you, here you go.
I don't care if I'm eating beans and rice every day. Yeah, hey, you got me $300.
Here's what I say.
I say instead of that,
why don't you send that to Zach and tell him who should really sing?
That's right.
Tell him, let him sing it. Let's
hashtag Zach Bryan and all of these promotional videos that we do.
Let's get him to sign you and come on the podcast. That'll work for me.
Oh man, what a real country love story.
It would be amazing. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much. Before we leave, where can people find you?
We have a Facebook page. You can follow me on my Taylor Catherine Music Instagram, which I post all of our updates as a band on there. And then they each have their individual Instagrams they can plug.
Yeah. Well, mine's not really... I've been toying with the idea that I need to create a music Instagram dedicated, because my Instagram now is just my personal Instagram, which is mostly record reviews.
Hey, dude, that sounds like music.
It's real dork stuff, but my Instagram is Will It Float.
I follow.
And the answer is yes, it will.
It will, buddy.
Yeah, it's a David Letterman reference.
All you got to do is make that a business account and leave it the same, man. Yeah, just make it a business account and call it your music account. Will It Float Music.
Well, the problem is everyone thinks my name is Will. That's the main issue.
You can switch that, you know, right? Yeah. Can you switch that?
I did that for like a month and a half after we started playing together. I kept calling him fucking Will.
You're not the only one.
You guys got to start getting each other's names right.
My friend Eric and my friend Will and my friend Richard over here.
I also have a tiny social media presence on Instagram. I have an inactive Facebook account, so if you friend request me and I don't accept it, it's because I haven't logged into that in 8 years. I'm on Instagram at Richard P. Chandler. It's neither a music nor a personal account. It's a mainly inactive account, but I've posted enough times that they know that I'm alive.
I tagged him in everything. Just follow my account.
That's a fact.
Taylor Catherine Music on Instagram, Taylor Catherine Music on TikTok, and Taylor Catherine Trio on Facebook.
All right, you guys.
I officially changed it today.
It's Trio on Facebook.
Yeah, they had to make me wait 60 days after I put the like original account on there.
We are at Top Hill Recording on Instagram, probably Facebook, I'm not sure, definitely on YouTube. So if you can, subscribe on that. And until next time, you guys, thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun.
Right. You guys are awesome.